Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tannehill, protection holds up initially, and he backs into the rush. And guess who? Megudon. Second down and 10. Oh, the ball is loose. Recovered by the Patriots. Kyle Duggar. Deontay Foreman, using his speed, fumbles the football at the end of the play. And recovered by Jalen Mills. Fake the handoff. Tannehill looking, guns it, deflected and intercepted in the end zone. J.C. Jackson is Mr. Pick.
Yeehaw! These Patriots are pretty good. 8-4 on the year. They're almost the number one seed in the AFC, in the driver's seat to be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. It's 11:02. Gresham Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. The Patriots right now, and I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, the Patriots are number one in the NFL in point differential, and right now they are number two in the NFL in turnover ratio. It's really amazing when you think about it because of the rookie QB. Because if there was one thing that people were worried about with having a rookie quarterback, regardless of who you had around him, was turnovers. You are way with every rookie, whether it's holding the ball in the pocket, whether it's throwing it to the other team. You're so worried about those turnovers. And while the Patriots defense has been great at forcing turnovers, you're not top of the league, unless your offense has cleaned up their act. And I would have dare said after week six, none of us would have thought the Patriots would be where they were in turnover ratio with the way the running backs were fumbling early in the year.
Oh, you're right. I mean, still the costly fumble and the way they were. And then Belichick is benching Stevenson, then he's benching Taylor. He doesn't know what. Then Harris, you're like, oh, you give him another shot. He fumbles again going into the end zone that game against Houston. You're like, what the hell is going on?
J.J. Taylor's hiding in Shime's basement right now. Yeah, like, I seriously, we haven't seen this guy in how long?
Yeah, he's probably playing video games.
Yeah, he is.
That's a good spot to be. But
hey, listen, he'll get you some Twitch followers. At Shime time, by the way.
You may not see him again, but Mac Jones also isn't throwing a ton of interceptions. And he's going to, right? Like, every quarterback's going to throw interceptions, especially a rookie quarterback. But the way that they the playmakers they have on defense, I think, is what really jumps out to me, because we've seen some good defenses, some great defenses in the 20 years with Bill Belichick, but J.C. Jackson, having a guy that just comes up with a constant, like, he's an interception waiting to happen, and then Matt Judon, the way he's getting after the quarterback, which is then also, you know, leading to fumbles, I just think that's what makes them scary. And, you know, even if they give up yards, all right, well, they can pick you off. They can cause a fumble. They can hop on it. They get short fields for their offense. And everything's just sort of working together right now.
Are you with me that J.C. Jackson is getting franchised next year because it's the path of least resistance to keep a number one corner?
Yeah, because you can't get rid of him.
Agreed.
You can't.
No, you need him.
But also, Bill's not going to pay him.
He's not going to pay him what he wants.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Right. Bill will pay him what he would like to pay him, and I think there is some wiggle room there. But, I mean, it is screaming that, A, J.C. Jackson is elevated now to number one corner status.
He's a number one corner.
And you're going to have to pay him accordingly, and the easiest way to do that next year is to give the guy the franchise tag, and I can hear the, oh, he's going to hate that. Okay, just for a little perspective, The guy's made about $4.5 million so far in his NFL career.
You give him, what, 18, 19?
It would be 18.4 is the projection for next year for 1 year. So even though they may not like it, that's where the agents have gotten hip to the game and been like, okay, you can franchise him this year, but we'll sign the deal only if you agree to not do it next year.
Right.
Which in reality, agents, I think, shouldn't be doing that. Because if you think about it, if he's getting $18.5 million next year, let's say for J.C. Jackson as we jump ahead, and you get 120% of that if you get franchised again, that's 2 years and over $40 million.
Yeah, but it's the same reason why guys don't want to get franchised is because if they get hurt, like there's that whole thing. They want the guaranteed money, as much guaranteed money as possible.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let's say he goes into free agency. Would he definitely get $40 million guaranteed?
Yes.
In a contract with someone else.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I wonder about that.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
If you're the agent, you want J.C. Jackson to get franchised because in 2023, that's when the cap really goes up and all that. But J.C. Jackson, though, I think we agree, he has answered the questions of whether he is a number one corner or not. Interceptions aside.
Yeah, no, he's shutting guys down. Now, yeah. Now, yesterday, you didn't get the matchup that would have maybe been – you know, like a heavyweight fight if you had J.C. Jackson and A.J. Brown and, like, really shutting down a number one.
Or
they didn't
against
have a number
Trayvon
one.
Diggs.
Or, yeah, but you didn't have that? Or Steph Diggs.
Steph Diggs.
So, yeah, you'll get the – yeah, I mean, Steph Diggs, Michael Pittman, you'll get the opportunity in the next couple of weeks for sure. This one he didn't have it, and that Patriots defense just snuffed out Ryan Tannehill. That wasn't really much of a passing game for him, and he was terrible. The Patriots defense right now, points allowed, that's the number one stat, right? That's mm-hmm. the most important stat. Number one in football. Number one. Now, we were hoping they would be top five. I also thought that might be if you could figure out something with Steph Gilmore. And yet, Gilmore didn't play a snap for the Patriots this year. And through 12 weeks, that's a nice sample size. This isn't two hot weeks. Through 12 games, they have the number one defense. Now, it's harder and harder to play defense. There's still so many. I mean, you could just watch it yesterday or in on Thursday, too. Just throw the ball up. Pray for a pass interference, throw the ball up, pray for a pass interference, can't touch the quarterback, can't do any of this. And yet still, they are making opposing quarterbacks look stupid. Like so many of these guys, their worst game of the season has been against the Patriots. Again, it's everybody but Dak Prescott has played really poorly against mm-hmm. the Pats all season. And I don't see that changing. Like why would Josh Allen all of a sudden play great or Carson Wentz play great against the Pats? I don't see that happening.
Well, and think about this. You're going to get Jamie Collins back at some point as well. Yep. Now, that's just another guy to add to the rotation
right.
because you had asked, why would it go away? It would be that your depth gets chewed up. However, I would argue that of all the defenses remaining in the AFC, the best depth and versatility is with the Patriots. They can play four down linemen if they want to.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Lawrence Guy coming up at 11:30. You know, he's one of those bigs that they can put in at any point in time. Mm-hmm. This defense is they're mobile. They can run. This is a faster group.
Yeah, it is.
Early in the year, the linebackers looked slow. I think they've sort of altered that a little bit by using Duggar and Phillips a little differently.
I think it's their weakest group still. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you call Judon. But I would say
Judon is a defensive end.
Okay.
He's
yeah.
not like Matt Judon to me is not a linebacker.
So I was like to me like Hightower, Van Noy, Bentley. By no means stink, but that's their worst group.
By the way, Bentley had 10 tackles and two forced fumbles. Yeah, he was a beast yesterday.
Oh, he was.
But you're getting Collins back, but I'm with you.
But if a team was going to have success against the Patriots defense,
you want the linebackers on the field, right?
Well, you're going to need them to be because I think teams can still run on them as proven out by yesterday. And again, mm-hmm. that all led to 13 points. Like, okay, so you did a hell of a job there. You came up with turnovers when you needed to. You know, you have a pick in the end zone. You have a missed extra point. You have a missed field goal. So there were points there that Tennessee screwed up. But, like, when you're looking at the games going forward, we have plenty of time to talk about this, but Bills and Colts, the Colts, to me, have a much better chance of beating the Patriots than the Bills do.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because we still got, you know, what, 15 more days or whatever
yeah,
before we
even
get there.
But that's my thought from the outside. Like, just trying to – we were going over some of the AFC teams and, like, why or how would a team lose, like, in a big game? And I don't know. You give up that many yards on the ground, and they've done it pretty consistently throughout the year. That would be my one concern for them.
Or a COVID outbreak like the Cowboys are apparently dealing with, where their coach Mike McCarthy has the virus.
Yes.
And apparently – what you were
I think Schefter said about nine
people with the Cowboys.
So that could be staff members, coaches, players, things like that. Yeah. And the Cowboys are turning around and playing on Thursday Night Football again. So good luck there to the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, a couple of quick playtime numbers before we get back to the phones. Mike Onwenu got back in, played about 12 snaps yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't get to chart all of them, but I think they were all at left guard because Ted Karras was out for a certain amount. Onwenu was in. I know there might have been the extra O-lineman play or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Onwenu, who, you know, why has he been put on the shelf? You wonder. But what a great luxury to be able to have. And how about the running back splits yesterday, Keith? Damian Harris, 22 snaps. Ramondre Stevenson, 20 snaps. Brandon Bolden, 19 snaps. So, yes, you had maybe two running backs on the field at certain times, but basically chopping it in thirds for all three of those cats.
Yeah, and as far as the carries were concerned, they were split between Harris and Stevenson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Harris ended up with 11, Stevenson 9. They each had one target. So it seems like Brandon Bolden's going to be the guy they throw the ball to more. But as far as the other two backs, kind of split in carries, which I don't hate because I don't think there's a huge difference between the two. And if part of it is keeping them fresh, because again, you go back to week one, Stevenson fumbles, they bench him. It may have led to more Harris than they wanted to. And then I think his fumble might have been in part because he was a little bit gassed. And you would think these guys may be in a little bit better shape as the season goes on. But still, so I'd split those two guys. Why not?
I'm with you. I think in a perfect world, if they're each between 15 and 20 carries, that's exactly what the Patriots want. Get to 40 carries in terms of running the ball and then let Mac do his thing. Let's get back to these phones with you at 617-779-7937. Hey, don't forget Dork Podcast tonight. Rich and Davey will be breaking it all down this evening. You can catch them on the Dork Podcast YouTube page. Boys will be talking about the new Hawkeye show that is out. So get that at WEEI.com this evening as well. Jimmy in Fall River kicks off hour two.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Oh, Jimmy, you're all fired up.
Yes. Hey. I love listening to you guys. I listen to you guys all the time from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. You guys are awesome. One thing I want to talk about is the Patriots. I think what Belichick is doing, he's not showing nothing off yet.
Okay.
Oh, so you know
what I mean? He's not showing his cannons. He's prepping Mac, and he's just, you know, he's doing good. I mean, how do you take a rookie? I've never played the game or whatnot. I played it on PlayStation.
Fair enough.
You know? But like I'm saying, I think what he's doing is he's not showing no secrets. He's playing a little bit against Tennessee yesterday. That game was sloppy. They made so many mistakes.
Jimmy, I think that in terms of what Belichick has been hiding, if there is any of that going on, it's layers on offense, not layers on defense. Because defensively, it's a new layer every week because you're reacting. Because if Tennessee had Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, the defensive game plan would have been very, very different than what it was yesterday. So it's injuries, it's the team that you're playing, and defensively it almost feels like you're being inventive every week, whereas offensively it's the, well, I know how people react to Bourne in this motion, so here's the play, we're going to work off of it. And if anything, it's probably the offense and McDaniels that are sitting on some stuff that you break out in the postseason.
Well, I mean, it is, and we've been saying this for 20 years about how game plan specific they are. Even when they had Cam Newton a year ago, you can run against the Dolphins. All right, run against the Dolphins. You can pass against the Seahawks. Pass against the Seahawks. So I think both sides look at the opponent, and that's what they do. They're not the Steelers for so many years. They're like, this is our defense. Doesn't matter who we're playing. It's like, well, Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady kind of go at it a little bit differently. Doesn't matter. We're going to run it this way.
We're blitzing.
Like, all right, that's okay. That's not going to work. Whereas the Patriots, again, we keep highlighting how, you know, when there's one guy on offense, they usually can take out the one guy. Or, you know, defensively, there's one thing that the other team is really, really good at. All right, don't run into a brick wall. Like, don't run into
there
the Tampa Bay Bucks. Throw on them or throw on the Tennessee Titans.
That's great advice. Don't run into the brick wall.
You're like, I don't know, but I can get through it this time.
Who are you, the Hulk?
Forget it.
Let's go to Bobby in Cambridge, Regression Keith. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? And I hope everybody had a safe and healthy Thanksgiving with their family.
Yes, you as well.
Same to you, buddy.
Okay, just quickly, you know what? I've been kind of a Belichick butt boy for this whole time he's been here. That's for sure. Full disclosure. It's about time maybe he gets a little bit of credit as Belichick, the GM. You know, he was taking a heck of a lot of verbal punches all throughout last year, whatever. And now, my own personal opinion as a fan, got a team now that we can root for and be competitive in every game. If they make the playoffs, as a fan, a longtime fan, I'll be happy with that. Those are tough three games. We all know that coming up. And Miami's won four straight in a row. But Belichick, the GM, has done a heck of a job with the players that he's had to let go throughout that and his team that he's put back together. And he's given Belichick, the coach, time team to put back together. So that's all I got, guys, and have a good day.
Bobby, you are 100% right. A couple of weeks ago, I even suggested, could he be executive of the year?
Might be.
And each week, it's only getting stronger. Like, his case is getting stronger. In one offseason, there are a few ways to build your team. You have the draft, you have free agency, and you have trades. Nobody drafted better for this season than the Patriots. Like, we'll see. Long term, there might be some better players. There might be some deeper draft classes. But for this year, you have a starting quarterback who's going to be offensive rookie of the year. You have a starting defensive lineman or whatever, a rotational defensive lineman, whether it starts or not. And you have a combo running back. You've got all three of those things that are all going to be big factors in how far this team goes. Matt Judon might be defensive player of the year. He's going to be all pro.
No
doubt. Signed him as a free agent. And then you put this on our radar in the first hour. Kendrick Bourne, believe it or not, might be the most impactful wide receiver to sign this offseason. And again, that's not really a great class. It might speak more to the class. But either way, Bourne has played exceptionally well. So even with a miss like Jonnu Smith or if you want to say, you know, who else may have missed?
Well,
Aguilar a little bit, but whatever. But like the impact key guys are all acquired this year by Bill Belichick.
Well, and if you look at some of the sneakier moves that have worked, as much as Judon's been great, the best signing that has really impacted the team on offense has been Ted Karras.
Karras has been huge.
Ted
Karras back.
A texter sent this in that Karras is better grading out one of the best guards in the NFL.
Good point.
6-0 with Karras in as the starting left guard.
Friend of the show, Ted Karras. You know, you're right, but like that, those are the ones you would sort of add to the list.
Are you where are you at on Jalen Mills? I know early you were out on him. He's played better as of late.
So okay, I think it's kind of matchup specific.
Okay.
So he had a really good game yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think it's also because he's better than the guys that he was lining up with yesterday. My fear is against the team, and who knows, with all the injuries, you might not even face a team like this.
You might not see it until a potential Super Bowl matchup against an NFC team, because nobody is loaded a wide receiver in the AFC.
No, the AFC is down with receivers. I mean, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. Like, yesterday should have been one of those games where I think Jalen Mills would have been exposed, but it didn't happen. And so I think the last time you thought the secondary really kind of stunk was against Dak Prescott, because they had Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. J.C. Jackson can only guard one of those guys. So, yeah, Mills, it was pointing back up yesterday, but overall I think he's been kind of fine. And, in fact, he's been a little bit miscast. Like, when he first signed,
agreed,
you're like, you have Gilmore, you have Jackson, and you can move Mills all the way around. And now it's like, no, you're our starting corner. So I think it's a little tough for him.
And Devin Godshall had himself a real nice game yesterday. He's been, again, if you're not looking at counting stats for D tackles, these guys have come in and done a really good job. 617-779-7937. Speaking of defensive tackles, Lawrence Guy will join us in 10 minutes here on Patriots Monday. Shaq Mason at noon. Let's go to John and Franklin McGregor. Keith, go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about the Pats. I mean, obviously, I'm super happy there. They're trending upward, and I thought from, you know, last year that this was a three-year rebuild, and I still kind of in my heart of hearts think that. I think we're in year two, and what's been impressive is they've kind of rebuilt on the fly, and most teams, when they're in a rebuild, a three-year rebuild, they're not at this point like the Patriots are, and I think it's really impressive. However, I just think a lot of us are really not truly looking at who they've played and putting that into the factor. And they've played a lot of crap bag teams. And in fairness, there are a lot of crap bag teams in the NFL. And,
I was going to say, who's
the league?
Yeah, who's played a murderer's row? Yeah. No one.
Who would be, John? And John, I think it's a fair point to bring up, but who would you say is a good team right now? Like, who would be a quality win in the AFC?
So I do think that I really like the Titans, and I just think, you just beat a really beat up Titans
team.
Injured.
Right.
If they were at full speed, like, I think that would have been a really tough matchup, and it wouldn't have surprised me if the Titans came on top. And I still believe in the Chiefs. I really do. They got too much talent there. They obviously have Mahomes, and you know, they got a good coach in Andy Reid. So I want to make a very quick comparison to this Pats team, and I want to know what you think. And I look at this Pats team almost like, if you remember 2004, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was Roethlisberger's first year, and they really thumped the AFC. I think they were like 14-2 that year, and they ran into a buzzsaw, and that was the Patriots, if you remember, in the playoffs. And this mm-hmm. Patriots team kind of reminds me of that Steelers team. You know, you got Mac Jones in his first year lighting things up. Roethlisberger was right lighting things up then. And it just wouldn't surprise me if we get all hyped up about this team, they go into the playoffs, and they get thumped by, you know, either the Chiefs or a healthy Titans team. So I'll here's let you
the,
talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, great call, John, and I'm glad you kind of brought up the other side of it. A couple things that jump out to me. First of all, the Titans, I don't think are ever going to be healthy. Derrick Henry's not coming back.
Right.
So I'm with John there. Like, if they had Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, that's one thing. And maybe in a couple of weeks they get A.J. Brown back. But without Derrick Henry, to me, I scratch them off of that list. Kansas City, again, they're pretty flawed this year. You know, Patrick Mahomes is throwing a ton of picks. The defense still kind of sucks. But if you want to call that a quality win for the teams, the four teams that have beaten them, then so be it. I don't think it's not like the Patriots have only played the Jets, Jaguars, Lions, and Texans. Over this six-game winning streak, they beat the Chargers in L.A. They beat Cleveland. They did, albeit an injured Tennessee team. And then Carolina, even before it was the Cam Newton Express there, Carolina's like kind of a playoff team. I'm not saying that's a great win. I'm just saying it's not a basement-dwelling, bottom-feeding team.
I think the narrative that they haven't beat anybody is flawed as the day is long, because this is a different kind of league this year.
Chargers are a playoff team right now. They're one of the AFC playoff teams. And the Browns could be. Like, they're at least in the mix, right? They're at least – now, the other thing he said was about the 0-4 – Steelers team. So the 0-4 Steelers team was the number one defense in the league.
Yep.
So just like the Patriots are. They were number 11 on offense. Patriots are currently 7 on offense. Here's the big difference to me. He said they were 15-1. The Steelers 15-1. Yeah, but they played, what was it, the 14-2 Patriots?
Right.
Who were awesome and had just won the Super Bowl the year before. That team doesn't exist. So basically the Steelers in 0-4 would have made the Super Bowl, probably would have won the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the Patriots. There is no 0-4 Patriots that this 2021 Pats team would have to face in the conference.
It is time for the Monday injury review. Normally we'd say Patriots Monday injury review, but the Patriots came out pretty clean. It's all sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group. And really the injury for us to focus on is the Buffalo Bills lose their star corner Tre'Davious White to a torn ACL. I know for those who want to just say everything's breaking Patriots, you know, this is another one. Unfortunately, a bad one for the Bills' Tre'Davious White. And with offices across New England, Ketchus Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketchus, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured? Get a free legal evaluation at ketchuslaw.com or call 508-321-7000. We can definitely get to some of the stuff that you hit on there, Keith, because I think there is a lot to unpack, as we would say. Lawrence Guy is going to join us next, but right now it's Chime Time. He's ready to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Patriots defensive tackle Lawrence Guy scheduled to join us here in mere moments. It is 11:30 on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. You can get us anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. By the way, on Wednesday and Thursday, it'll probably be unbeknownst to many of you, but I'll be doing my part of the show from Gillette Stadium, because on Wednesday and Thursday we have Massachusetts high school football championship game.
All right.
So I'm
there
on.
Go.
I got six of those. At least they're not in one day.
3-3.
3-3.
Oh,
much more manageable.
Six straight games.
They're still a little worried. Well, they're still a little worried about me doing 4 hours and then three games and 4 hours and then three games.
You'll
please.
Be fine. That's nothing.
The Energizer Bunny.
Come on.
I need no help like that whatsoever. That's a good check, too. That really motivates me. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well, hey, listen.
I mean, I might as well just be honest about it, right?
Uh-huh.
Joining us now on the on the Harbor One hotline is our friend Lawrence Guy, as he joins us each and every Patriots Monday, and he is brought to us by Falmouth Lumber, your Anderson Windows dealer. You're on a heater, Lawrence Guy. How are you, friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad we were on a heater last night because it was chilly outside.
Fan of the cold? Gotten used to it? Manage it? Where are you at on cold, considering you're a Vegas guy at heart, correct?
Of course. I got used to it. You know, when I got in the league years ago, they told me when I was in Green Bay, they said, we don't wear sleeves. I said, what does that mean? They said, we don't wear sleeves. I'm like, okay. Then when I got a little bit older, I told everybody, they're like, doesn't matter how cold it is, you put sleeves on? I said, no. I got told I wasn't allowed to wear sleeves, so I kept that to heart. So I just sit there and just freeze a little bit, get on the heater, warm my hands up, and call it a day.
Now, do any of the rookies or any of the guys that are new to New England that have been playing in the South or playing in a dome team, do they come to you for advice of, like, what the hell do I do out here?
They always say the same thing. Like, hey, is it going to get colder? I'm like, yeah, it's going to get a little bit colder. I said, when the wind comes in from the lighthouse, you won't feel that breeze. I'm like, don't worry. I said, when it gets below 20 degrees, I'll put a coat on, too.
Yeah.
I'm no coat, but 20 or something, I'm a coat. Trapping the hot air in there for the machine. I said, you got to stay warm after that. But I said, on the field, you just got to survive.
Well, Lawrence, isn't it the kind of lineman's conundrum? Because you want to show the guns, and you've got great tats, but if you go full-blown Matt Judon and go long sleeves, no one gets to see the gun show or your great artwork.
Right? And you know what, Matt, he does it in the hot or in the cold. So you're like, I understand. But he's like, if you're going to show your arms in the summer, you might as well show your arms in the cold. That's where you see stuff popping out. The veins pop out because it's cold outside.
True.
You know, now you can see all the definition.
Now, is anybody allowed to wear red sleeves if they wanted to? Or I feel like Judon's sort of got that, like, that's his thing.
That's a good question. I haven't seen nobody do it yet. Yeah, so I think that's his thing. And now, I think just installed there. Like, if you do it, you're just copying them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might look at you like, come on, I've been doing this all year. You can't just, you know, these Johnny-come-latelys with the red sleeves. And that way, I think, I think he pops a little bit more. Let's be honest.
when he's out there, and you know it's him when he's coming up with, like, what's he got, 11.5 sacks now on the year?
And it's also a sneaky way for him to circumvent what Lawrence just talked about. Yeah. Hey, man, the red sleeves are my gimmick. Yeah. It just happens to be 0 degrees outside, correct, and I'm going to be warm. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Lawrence, you'd be able to see the icicles hanging off his biceps, for crying out loud.
Of course. You know, like I said, he kind of got it in there. So I'm like, hey, marketing for him. You know, this will be a rest of these line coming out sooner or later in the Boston area.
So, Lawrence, how do you kind of sum up yesterday's game where you guys only allow 13 points and yet you give up 270 on the ground, including a big gainer touchdown basically to end the first half?
Well, that's a difficult one. You know, we played a hard game. And our main goal every week is what, to eliminate big plays. And they had 3 big plays on us to get those yardage on us. You take away those plays, yeah, we end up doing better. But at the end of the day, we understand the nature of this beast. It's a good play, good call against the defense, and he was able to do it and able to give the effort. You can't say no. We try to get the effort not to stop him. Like the big run when he ran past the field and was able to get a forced fumble on there. But you have to say that's still a big play we have to eliminate. Those are the plays that we can't keep happening. We have to figure out what we need to do better. Because when you have those big plays, you don't know when that might happen. And that could have been a big changer in the game. But we just kept going out thinking the mind says, hey, 0-0, we got to keep playing the game hard. We got to keep punching them in the mouth. And that's what I feel like we did, understanding that there were some big plays in there we still got to eliminate. So when we watch the film today, we can figure out what to do and what indicators we could have caught on to before to eliminate those plays.
Lawrence Guy, Patriots defensive tackle, is with Gresham Keefe here on Patriots Monday. He's with us on the Harbor One Hotline. And our interview with Lawrence is brought to you by Verizon. Lawrence, in looking back on yesterday, what did you guys do well that you feel good about when you sit down and the coaches start to rip through the film?
I feel good about the whole game. There was not one aspect of the game I didn't feel like we didn't come in to play in. We knew what type of game this was. This was a hard-fought game. It's going to be a play-by-play game. When you look at the score, you're like, okay, yeah, that was the score. But when you're on that field, nobody gave up. There wasn't one player on each side of the ball that wasn't sitting there trying to play it their all. Everybody was sitting there trying to play the most physical game they could have played. So, like I said, those big plays, those 3 big plays that we had on defense, those are the ones we had to come back here and, like, hey, this is what we got to do. Other than that, I feel good about the whole game. On the sideline, cheering everybody on, cheering the offense on, cheering the defense on, cheering the special teams on. Because in that aspect, it comes down to those three phases, you know. Special teams got to go out there and do what they do. Offense has to do it, and defense has to do it. I feel like we did show up. But like I said, there are some plays we got to get corrected. And there's also a lot of adjustments that we did on the field, on the sideline, after the game kept continuing to make sure we didn't get hit with those same plays later on.
Is there still something special about playing on Monday Night Football, or is it just another game?
You know, everybody thinks it's a great experience playing Monday Night Football. Like, everybody watches you. You know, that's the best thing about it. Like, you're the only game in town. And that's the best thing that we come in, it's that feeling. But me, myself, I look at it like, hey, this is just another game we got to play and prepare for. I don't want the day overwhelm me for what it is. I understand it's a hard-nosed fought game. We're coming back in the division. We got to go up there and throw the first punch.
Key takeaway of the week brought to you by the Dan O'Brien Auto Group. I want to follow up on Rich's question on Monday Night Football, and it's a divisional opponent, Lawrence. So not only do you get an extra day to prepare, but it's a divisional foe. Is it easier in your preparation to pick up almost where you left off last year in playing a divisional opponent? How much carryover is there year to year in terms of you getting up to speed and ready for this one on Monday?
Yeah, there's always a lot of carryover. They got the characteristics from years on. But we still understand that there's always new players on there. There's always new rotation. You just have to figure out how they're using their key players more, how they're running their play calls, and who they're developing. And from there, you just kind of key on, like us. You're like, we got all new players on our team. So I know they're like, okay, this is their philosophy. This is what they're doing. But these are the players that are that are growing on him. This is the players that are making big plays. And that's what we got to look at. Like, okay, who are they utilizing for the last couple of weeks? How are they going to play the ball? And look at their good games and their bad games. And just break them down and see what we can and can't allow happen and how we're going to have to play this game. Like I said, it's a Monday night game. Like, a lot of people are big hype about the game just because it's the only game in town on that night. So you're like, okay, this is what it is. So you got the extra day. Both teams got an extra day to prepare. So both teams got an extra day to understand this is what we got to do to win the games. It's just, we just got to go out there and practice our butts off. And like I said, the years before, in conversations before, it starts with our scout team. The scout team is going to give us a good look and they help us prepare for the game.
Lawrence, did Bill Belichick have a weigh-in on Friday morning, or is even he not even – he's not that wicked, is he?
I plead the fifth.
Smart man, Lawrence Guy, all joins right. us each and every week here on the Harbor One Hotline. Lawrence, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. Keep rolling. We'll catch you next Tuesday on Patriots Tuesday, since you guys are playing on Monday night. Thank you, sir.
That sounds good. You take care.
There Thanks, we go. Yeah, I figured there was going to be a little plead the fifth action on that one. That'd be rough.
That is a little mean.
Thanksgiving Day. Now, I don't know if they like had the whole day off. Normally, there is a
morning meeting, go home. Yeah.
You would think so. Uh-huh. But yeah, that weigh-in would be rough. Cruel. Especially if you're a largo like Lawrence. Uh-huh. By the way, go into any Dan O'Brien Auto Group store today and get your awesome protection plan, keeping it awesome. The Dan O'Brien key takeaway in terms of getting ready for the Buffalo Bills, where the Patriots have a little bit of a weird schedule here. So it was you played on Thursday, and they didn't play again until Sunday. So now it's Monday. Get the extra day to prepare for that. And now the game against the Colts has been flexed to Saturday night. So now you have a bye week, but you're back a day sooner because you're playing on not only on Saturday night, you're playing in Indianapolis. That means you're getting on a plane on Friday.
Back-to-back primetime games for them, because all of a sudden this is a team. Now, I know the Bills game was already scheduled, but the Colts game wasn't. We didn't know it was going to be primetime. So it's like, well, wait a minute. This is one of the best teams in the conference now. So we better get them off of these 1 o'clock starts.
Yeah, and the Colts are just good enough to make it interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they needed that game yesterday. But they're frisky. They're in the hunt.
You have been they're on all them about yep. the Colts being frisky. Quickly, let's go to Bob in Greenfield talking Matt Judon with Gresham Keefe. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Bob, go quick, please.
Good. Yeah, no problem. With Matthew Judon, one, how many teams are just pulling their hair out because Belichick once again pulls these guys out that supposedly have problems, brings them in, and they are dominant. And the other thing I just noticed second half of that game with him is they were basically tackling him at every play, and there were virtually no calls. But I think he is obviously the big impact player that's changed this defense, because the secondary seemed slow to be before he showed up.
Yeah, Judon is an absolute game changer. I don't know what kind of problems he had beforehand. I just think the Patriots gave him the most money. 4 years, $56 million, and that's how they're able to get it done. I'm sure Baltimore still wanted him.
Would think so, and he's been fantastic mm-hmm. this year. The Celtics they've had themselves an interesting couple of days. We will get to everything in the world of the Celtics next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Williams will bring it up, and the Celtics again do the job. Boston able to pull the win out here in Toronto, and the Raptors' struggle continues. They hope to get OG Anunoby back soon, and Trent also, but right now, Celtics, hey, that's the way it goes, and that's the way it plays. Boston wins it 109-97.
I thought I left the show in this city that played George Michael. Now we're back to it because of
John's
canter.
Christmas is around the corner too, Gresh. The George Michael season has just started.
John's Christmas dispensation.
I hate to give him credit, but John's having a good day on the rejoins. No, he is. I think what he needed was 4 days off.
Gotcha.
He'll probably suck again tomorrow, but today, I feel like he's been pretty good.
Jesus Christ.
Kendrick Bourne!
That was pretty good.
It was good.
I like that one. So, how about those Celtics?
Yeah, they're...
What do you say?
So, as you heard Mike Gorman say, Celtics beat Toronto yesterday 109-97. On Wednesday, the Celtics lost to the Nets. On Friday night, they lost to like a 4-win Spurs team.
Well...
A 4 or a 5 win Spurs team that is not littered with Ginobili and Duncan or any great players.
Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard.
And last night the Celtics win and Jason Tatum.
This is unbelievable.
8 points.
Not just 8 points. Couldn't buy a bucket. Like this was this might have been his worst shooting game of the season. He was 2 of 16 from the floor. Now, did you like this? Career high 10 assists. Dropped 10 dimes on him.
I did.
Got to pass the ball, right? If you're not shooting very well, maybe pass the ball, get other guys involved.
Marcus Smart, 21 points.
Marcus Smart leading you in scoring. It's not going to equal a whole lot of wins. Yeah. It's not. But here's the thing. I just feel like this team, and now it's a 21-game sample size, just feels like a 500 club. So, yeah, you lose to the Nets, you lose to the Spurs, you shouldn't do that, but then you come back, you beat the Raptors, you're like, okay, like, they're just kind of treading water. They're 11-10.
They're neutral.
I don't think they're, but how much better are they?
They're not.
They're not much worse. They're not much better. This is kind of, unfortunately, what they are. I'm still really flummoxed with Jason Tatum shooting. Like, it is still 21 games in, career lows, 3-point, 2-point free throw. Now, free throws barely, but still, 3-point, way off, 31% from three. His first 4 years in the league, he went 43, 37, 40, 39, and now he's at 31, and he's taking more of them. He's taking more now than he ever took before, and he's missing way more.
All right, let me give you a nugget
okay. That
really drives home how fair some of the Jason Tatum criticism has been.
Lay it on me.
Jason Tatum, 2 for 16, as you mentioned, against the Raptors. Tatum is eighth in the NBA in made shots. Eighth in made.
Made shots, okay.
First in attempts.
Oh, yeah. He's put them up.
Now, let me add another layer.
Okay.
Tatum shooting 39.5% on 21.8 attempts per game. Keith, did you know only 5 players have shot below 40% on 20-plus attempts per game in a whole season since the shot clock era that began in 1954? So we're not talking about a guy who's just bad. We're talking about a guy in Jason Tatum who has expectations out the waz, who is, as evidenced by that stat right there, through the first 21 games, has been damn near historically bad shooting the basketball this season.
Just a quick scan of it, and you could probably go even deeper, but I'm just looking at the top 50 scorers in the NBA right now.
Uh-huh.
His field goal percentage would be 50th. Worst. There's only a couple of guys under 40, like you said, and he's one of them. And, I mean, Kevin Durant is shooting 55%. Steph Curry, who shoots from three more than he shoots from two, is shooting 46.6%. I mean, no matter what the skill, like the big guys like Giannis and Jokic, the little guys like Trae Young and Ja Morant, all shooting better than Jason Tatum, which is wild, but hasn't stopped them from putting the shots up. But what is it? Like, is it just, are we going to look back on it like it's just a bad shooting year? Like, it's very strange. Because not that everybody's going to have, you're 40% three-point shooter every single year of your career. No, you're going to have sort of, peaks and valleys.
Sure.
But to drop off to this degree is pretty surprising.
Well, when we get to this Celtics team feels like they're running in neutral.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum is not getting better. And I know it's only 21 games and we can say, well, it's a quarter of the season.
No.
In a year in which...
He was probably better 2 years ago.
They, meaning the Jays, both Brown and Tatum, were supposed to incrementally get better to be able to close the gap with the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference, and it isn't happening. And I'm trying to remain patient because I get both of them are young. But at some point, if they're not growing, when are we going to stop fooling ourselves into thinking that Jason Tatum is going to be, hell, top five? A top 10 player in the NBA.
Yeah, right
now. He scores a ton. That's great. But where else has this guy improved? And there was the article with the one NBA general manager who's like, yeah, that guy didn't care about winning. He's all about the points.
And I agree with that.
It's hard to not feel that way with him.
No, I completely agree with that. Now, he scores a ton of points, but a lot of guys score a lot of points. Like the NBA, take a look around. Look at those scores every night. There's a lot of scoring. So he is 10th in the league in points per game. And you would think when you are first in, or I guess he's technically second. He's second in field goal attempts per game. You'd think that number might be a little bit higher than what it has been. Now, I do wonder, does last night start to translate a little bit more? Not that he's going to have 10 assists every night, but does he feel a little bit more comfortable distributing the ball, getting other guys going? And more importantly, can those guys make shots?
Yep.
Because, I mean, to sort of defend him for a minute, his assist number would be a little bit higher on maybe another team that surrounds him with better shooters. Because it's not like he never passes.
No.
It's just guys haven't been able to hit shots. Last night they did a little bit more. But, yeah, it's been a frustrating year for the Celtics. It has been. You know, Jaylen Brown's obviously missed a bunch of time. Tatum's been out there, but he's shooting really poorly. And the team hasn't taken a step forward. In fact, they're very similar to what they were last year. Very similar. 500 team. 500 team. Maybe be the sixth seed, probably more likely to be in that play-in tournament and you know, call it a season.
And a part of the reason we had Freedom coming back from break was because the newest Boston Celtic, Enes Kanter Freedom.
Yes.
In fact, the Celtics, I guess they broke the pregame huddle. Yeah, I don't know if you heard this or not.
Play basketball for a living, man. Freedom on, freedom on three. One, two, three.
Freedom!
I want that video.
Maybe this will bring the team closer together because they tried the pizza party route. Maybe didn't work, but Enes Kanter, congratulations. He's a U.S. citizen now.
That's right. Good for
changing
him.
Changing his last name to Freedom.
And Charlie Steiner will be in town to tape a commercial, yeah. Follow Me to Freedom, where they really got Enes Kanter in a trunk somewhere. Maybe he'll be in Razor's Tickle Trunk.
Could be.
And they can follow him to Freedom, and they go find Freedom, and maybe that fixes everything.
See, LeBron changed his last name?
Oh, really?
Communism.
Oh. Yeah.
Changed it to
I thought
communism.
It was owner of Penguins.
There's
that as well. Yeah. We head into hour three with Gresham Keefe. Shaq Mason of the Patriots will join us to start the hour, and then we're talking about this team with you next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.